Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, it was just handed, along with Sean and Tiki and Loogie, a tradition here at American Dream. And that is this unbelievable, unbelievable shake from the Candyland Shake Bar.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know which one mine is, but they've
got... I got you, bro.
Okay.
You have the King Candy.
Oh, this is ridiculous.
The King Candy. I'm halfway through the King Candy.
Over there, we have a blue one with rainbow cake. That is...
I'm probably birthday cake, no?
Tommy's drinking the Queen Frostine.
Oh.
And just so you know, the Queen Frostine that he's having from the Candyland Shake Bar is vanilla ice cream, blue raspberry syrup, whipped cream, blue floss sugar, rainbow cake, and blueberry toppings, and M&M's.
I don't even know where to put the straw in this thing.
I am right now, by the way, enjoying my nice pink princess lolly. Go. And Cheeky, you're... devouring here the sloppy gloppy.
The sloppy gloppy.
Sloppy gloppy, vanilla ice cream, chocolate syrup, chocolate overload cake, brownie chunks, mini marshmallows, crushed Oreo rim.
Oh, this looks ridiculous.
They made it extra sloppy for
Candyland Shake Bar here at American Dream. This is great.
Tremendous.
I mean, great hibachi earlier, too.
Yes.
The Dream 360 up there.
So we were eating this unbelievable food up there at Dream 360. It's a hibachi grill, and we all know what that's like. You sit at the table. They've got, you know, they cook in front of you. And I haven't been to one in a while, and this was the best. Like, the chicken was great. The shrimp was great. I advise anyone to check it out when you're here. Yeah. And like Tiki said, they got TV screens and all that.
Right.
But
Big
it inspired
bar. There's actually a golf simulator on the back end of it, too.
Oh, crap. I didn't even see that. Yeah. That's pretty good.
Yeah, they actually hit shrimp into your mouth from the table.
What inspired me by being there is that all restaurants should cook in front of you. Like, I think that should almost be a law because it just makes it entertaining. Like, you go to a pizzeria and they make it in front of
you.
And
it's so painful to wait for your food.
Yeah.
If they're cooking it right in front of you, you're not asking or thinking, when's my food going to be ready?
You can see it right there.
You know exactly when it's going to be ready.
Absolutely.
And it's somewhat entertaining.
Very entertaining. So I think that should be a thing everywhere. Now, very, very important. We are just hours away, really a couple of days away, from the Jets season and the Giants season starting. And I always bust with these guys, hey, our views on our teams change the closer we get to the start of the season. So all the way back last January, I said, hey, how many wins do you think the Giants are going to have next year? I did it right after the draft. I did it at the beginning of training camp.
Did you keep this?
Of course. Okay. I got records of everything. But today, on the eve of the start of the NFL season, we now reconvene to predict how well our football teams are going to do. And so yesterday, I kicked it all off with our Super Bowl predictions. I'm going to go last. I'm going to let you guys explain to me how many wins the Giants are going to have, how many wins the Jets are going to have. And, of course, at the end of the football season, we will hold all ourselves accountable on our predictions. So, Tiki Barber.
Yes.
Let's start with the Jets. The New York Jets are going to play 17 games this season. It all starts on Sunday at MetLife Stadium against the geriatric known as Aaron Rodgers. How many wins and where will the New York Jets season conclude?
I think the Jets are going to finish this season.
Yes.
6-11.
6-11. Okay.
They're going to have to steal some of those wins, too. I think they're going to struggle scoring. It's a league that it is punitive to teams that have to go station to station.
Mm-hmm.
And you do that when you only can run the ball.
So you are basically confirming my negativity from the beginning of the show that the Jets are not a playoff
team. Yes, despite me not confirming the negativity at the beginning of the show.
Thank you very much. Now, Tiki, the New York Football Giants. And don't be swayed by everyone here wearing blue. They're all nice people. In fact, one guy asked me to sign... something for his friend, because no one would ever admit they want me to sign something for them. it's for a friend of mine, and it was the Giants' schedule. And
interesting. What did you write on it?
L's next to every game.
Oh, come on, dude.
No, I kid. I put three wins. I put three. Yeah, I put three W's. I went L.
Against who?
The Saints.
The Raiders, the Saints, and I forget the. I gave you the Raiders, the Saints, and I forget the third one.
No division games?
Nah, you went 0 for the division.
Oh, come on.
I was just having fun. You know what it was? I was being a jerk.
Giants are winning on Sunday.
Oh, it starts right there.
So there you go.
And how many wins will the New York Giants finish with this year?
The Giants will be playing meaningful football in December. I think they're going to win 8 games.
Wow.
8-9.
Now, before you explain to me how you got to 8, we need a breakdown. And this Giants clean, crisp breakdown is sponsored by Bud Light. Easy to drink, easy to enjoy. How do you get to 8, Tiki?
So you win multiple games in the division. So obviously, I already told you I think they're going to win this weekend. I think Dallas, they win that game as well. The Eagles are a team that just they're just good even when they're bad. Like, they didn't play great yesterday,
right,
and they still found a way to win that game. Now, a lot of that was because of the delay. The second half was a nothing burger.
It was like two different games.
Right. There weren't any points scored in the second half. There were no points scored in the second half, despite the first half being completely – I don't know if the Giants can beat the Eagles. They're just a very good team.
Sure.
And then after that, you win those games that you're supposed to, the ones that you were just mentioning, the Saints, the Raiders. Maybe you steal one against a Chargers team that's coming across the country and having to play game 4 in the Meadowlands. Maybe it's still a little bit warm for them. So I get to 8 by winning some in the division and winning the ones you're supposed to.
So,
and stealing one of those that people don't think that you're supposed to win.
I need to ask you a follow-up about this, and we'll get to Tommy and Sean and myself. But if they go 8-9, I want to ask you a second prediction.
Mm-hmm.
Is Russell Wilson going to start all 17 games?
Yes, I do think he's starting all 17 games.
Wow.
I do.
How about that? And there's something really good to that. I mean, A, it means the Giants had a good year.
And it puts him in an interesting dilemma. Because if they go 8-9,
yeah,
he was brought here specifically to win games in 2025.
Yeah.
But if they're playing meaningful football down the stretch,
yeah,
and Russell Wilson is a reason that they're winning, how do you move off of him?
Oh, that's easy.
Right?
No, I think that's
easy.
And
then start the second-year quarterback,
yeah,
who has no experience and might not fare as well.
I'll give you a comp, and it's not even like the same at all, but I'd show you how easy it is. I think of the Chargers, the year they had success with Drew Brees, but a year earlier they had drafted young Philip Rivers.
But wasn't he hurt?
Well, he was coming off a good year. There were questions about his health, absolutely.
Right.
But in Russ's case, he's also just old. So I think if the season finishes the way you described it,
mm-hmm,
and your predictions are accurate, Russ plays every game, they go 8-9, I think it's easy to say, thank you for your time, Russ, we're going to move on.
But I think it might be harder than you think.
Okay. I like that, though. That's it. Russ is going to play all 17. I don't think there's many people who still think that anymore.
I think you're wrong. I think there's not that many people that want that to happen.
Well,
I think they want Jackson Dart to have an opportunity at some point this year.
Well, here's the contradiction for Giant fans. Of course you want to see Jackson Dart, but you want to win games.
Right.
And winning games means more Russell Wilson.
And what's more important?
What's more important? Well, I think there's a value to Jackson Dart sitting the entire season.
Right. So what's more important?
Winning games,
exactly.
So Jackson sits.
That's all that matters.
All right.
Winning games.
Sean Morash, how many wins will the New York Jets have this season?
The New York Jets will go 4-12-1 this year.
Wow, you're picking a tie.
I am. And just to piss you off.
Who's that tie going to be against?
The New England Patriots.
How many wins will the New York Giants have this season?
So 2 weeks ago I said 6. I've said 7 all day. The New York Giants are winning 10 games. We're back. We are back. And the New York Giants, Evan, forget what I said 2 hours ago. We're playing on wild card weekend. Let's go.
All right. I feel good. I bullied him into saying the Giants are a playoff team. At the very, very beginning of this show, you can rewind it on the Odyssey app.
Oh, I have one more caveat, too.
Sure.
The rushing champion will not be Saquon Barkley. Tyrone Tracy will lead the NFL in rushing yards.
Yeah, you know why he's saying that. Tyrone's going to join the show a little bit later on.
Is he?
Is he already here?
I don't know if he's here yet, but he'll be here, and I'm sure Sean will mention this.
I think you're going to win the rushing title.
Look, I commend you. You have fit right into my trap of we all get optimistic as we get closer to the start of the season. All right, so 4-12 for the Jets, 10-7 for the New York Giants.
Can I switch back to 7?
You're so gullible,
I'm just kidding.
No, you're locked in. Tommy Lugauer, the New York Jets.
All right. So I'm going through the Jets' schedule here.
That's a win. That's a loss.
And
that's a win.
It's rough. It kind of reminds me every month when I look at my credit card bill now that my wife has my credit card information, and it's just it's not good to look at. I think there's a clear path to the Jets starting 0-8.
Okay.
0-8.
0-8.
Dude.
Steelers, Bills, Bucks, stop me when you hear a win. Miami, Dallas, Denver, Carolina, Cincinnati. They have Cleveland, and who knows where the quarterback will be in Week 10 after a bye. Maybe that's their first win.
Right.
So I think they have a clear path to going 0-8. They could lose their Super Bowl in Week 1.
Just tell me how many wins they're going to have.
The Jets will have 4 wins this season.
4-13. Okay. I mean, basically the same prediction as Sean. I mean, they think they have the same brain. 4-12-1, 4-13. All right, fair enough. How about the New York Football Giants?
I'm very optimistic about the Giants.
No kidding.
Positive Tommy.
Yeah, positive Tommy. But I'm not 100% sure the optimism is going to equal wins. I think the Giants win 6 games this year.
Oh, so he's on the low end right now.
Whoa, positive Tommy's dead. And I don't want TK.
Boo! Come on, boo Tommy here. Hold on a 6 wins. Come on, boo.
Hold on a second. I think you'd rather have me give you an honest take instead of pander like Sean, because that's what you did. You pandered to the people here. You know you don't believe that.
Oh,
so I gave more an honest opinion. You're over there drunk on sprinkles and ice cream. The one thing I will say.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
To push back a little bit on Tiki, I think Jackson Dart is more important than wins this year. Because, yeah, they can win.
Really?
Teak, I think if they win, if the season plays out the way it plays out for Sean, okay. But if we see that Jackson Dart is the goods and we know he's going to be the starting quarterback.
How are you going to see he's the goods?
Because if he gets in there by week 4 and he gets basically a full season under his belt and he's the next Jaden Daniels, then we're going to feel like we're going to be in the mix every year. I don't want to drop another fool's gold because I already have that with the Yankees. But it feels like fool's gold if it's a season with Russ where they're the in-the-hunt graphic.
Yeah, but you know why it's not? Because, and I'm going to be sane about this, and I actually have confidence you guys will be sane too. Russ is only here for a year.
Right.
I don't care what success they have. In fact, let's take this to an extreme level. Let's go crazy. The Giants not only make the playoffs, they go on a run. I still would say thank you for your service, Russ. We're moving on. You drafted Jackson Dart. He is your future. And I'll give you another NFL example. John Kitna to Carson Palmer. That was another example where Kitna had a good year. And the Bengals said, thank you, but our future is Carson Palmer. Obviously, I gave you the Chargers example of Drew Brees into Phillip Rivers.
Right.
I think that if you have success, that's just a sign that you built a really good roster. And it better equips Jackson to take over a year from now. So there's no negative.
To your point, this is exactly what the Minnesota Vikings did.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold had a fantastic year.
And they moved on.
And they didn't even consider it, really. They knew he was 1 year.
And I think that one's a little bit more complicated because Sam's young enough where you could talk yourself into him being the long-term
28?
Answer. Right. So the Vikings could have gone the other way on this. Russ is easy. He's in his 30s, bro. I mean, this is a one-year thing. So there's no negative to winning games. With that said, I wrote down my predictions 48 hours ago. I feel less confident in what I wrote down. And I want to tell you what I wrote down. I wrote down 5 wins for the New York Giants, and I stay pretty firm about that. I think they're either a 4 or 5 win team. Now, you may not like that, but here's the good news. I do think that this is a very talented roster. It is a much improved roster, and I think that you will walk away from this season, even if you don't feel it now, and I wouldn't feel it now, saying, hey, I like where this team is going.
Yes,
this is a brutal schedule.
Evan likes to rationalize everything, people. Last year, he was very good, very good. At picking games.
2 years in a row now.
2 years in a row.
Yeah.
Unbelievably good. Yesterday, you aired. You picked the Eagles.
I'm 0-1, yes.
And the points.
That's correct.
And you know who got it right?
Tiki.
And Sean.
Good for you guys.
Listen to us.
Yeah,
the tide is a turning.
So let me get this straight.
So you've been right about the Giants the last couple of years.
I have been. Thank you.
The precedent was started yesterday. You're going to be wrong.
Well, I hope.
Folks, Evan Roberts doesn't believe in us. Remember that. Boo that man.
Well, I don't. I mean, I don't care. I'm being honest. Here's the good news. Why don't you wait for my Jet pick? I don't believe in them either. So I wrote down 7-10, and I have felt this entire offseason this is a 7-win team, maybe an 8-win team.
I'm not far off.
The closer we've gotten to the start of the season, the less confident I am. Like, now I'm kind of back in that 6-win, 5-win kind of area because, like, I love this defense, and I think they'll improve from last year. They had a massive disappointment. I think this offensive line, even with AVT out, will still be the strength of this team. I love that they bought the lottery ticket on Justin Fields. You're right. I recommended that the Giants do that a year ago. So I love that they did it. I think it was the right move to make, but it doesn't mean the lottery ticket's going to hit. It doesn't mean I'm going to win the Powerball or whatever the hell it's called.
You're more likely to get hit by lightning than winning the Powerball.
Exactly, and I'm more likely to be hit by lightning than Justin Fields as the franchise quarterback for the New York Jets. So I'm kind of in that 6-win category. I think I lost a game over the last 48 hours. So I'm at 6-11 with the Jets. So here's what that means, folks. We both suck. We're both not going anywhere.
That's
we can be optimistic
true.
Today, but the truth is, even if I believe in Aaron Glenn at the end of the year and you guys believe in Jackson Dart,
I think
we're going to be staying home in January. Okay. Make as many vacation plans as you want.
Everything is relative. So sucking is relative. So sucking and being 5-whatever is feels like one thing, but if it's actually a positive 5-12, it's a different feel. So much of this is going to depend on what the games actually look like. Like last year, the Giants were getting their doors blown off, and it was ugly. There was nothing to feel positive about.
Tough to get excited to watch the games.
Yeah, exactly right. And you just knew they weren't competitive enough to even try to win.
Right.
The Giants are losing games by field goals or 1 point or scores. You're actually going to feel good about the direction that they're going in.
And because Jackson Dart's waiting there, or even if when he does play, there is never going to be a point this year, no matter the record, that you are not excited on a Sunday morning to wake up and watch Giants football.
I don't want to Joe B anybody by revealing a private text message. All I'll say is someone at WFAN, because I don't want to out them, is falling in love with AI music just like me. Somebody may have theme songs for their show based on AI, but I'll leave it up to them if they want to talk about it on air. It's this guy.
Of course.
No. Don't say anything. Don't out anybody.
I'm not outing
I just
anybody.
Want the people to know I'm not the only crazy that loves AI music.
Well, he loved your AI music. So.
That's right. WFAN NFL football is powered by Verizon. If you are just tuning in, the Yankees play the Blue Jays tonight. And if you're on your way to Yankee Stadium, you won't see Anthony Volpe. He's still on the team, but he is not the starting shortstop tonight as the Yankees take on the Blue Jays. So a major lineup change made by the manager of this team as the Yankees get set to try to make up some ground on the Blue Jays. They're 3 games back. They do not have the tiebreaker. They won't get the tiebreaker. So very, very important that they make up as much ground as humanly possible. Let's take some of your phone calls. A lot of conversation around our expectations for the Jets and Giants. Let's go to Ryan in Oceanside. Fine afternoon to you, Ryan.
Hey, what's happening, Evan Tiki? How are you?
We're good, dude. What's up?
Evan, as a Jets fan, I'm a big Jets fan, too. I feel like every time the team is, like, supposed to be really good, you know, like with Rodgers and Testaverde, after the 2 conference championships, I feel like they cap the bed every year. And when the team flies, and I feel like when the team flies under the radar, and they're supposed to be really bad, they do well. They win, like, 10, you know, 9, 10 games. You feel that way, Evan?
The problem, Ryan, I think there's truth to that, but that truth was 15 years ago. Like, keep this in mind. The Jets have had 1 winning season since 2010.
Right.
1. Okay, so how many times have they gone into seasons with low expectations and succeeded? The answer is never. I mean, the only above 500 year they had was back in 2015. I like to call that the fart in the wind season. The first year of Todd Bowles where they were 10-5, they were in a position to make the playoffs, and they choked it away week 17 in Buffalo. So I get it that the last few years this team had very high expectations, but even, Teak, when they've had low expectations, they haven't been good in a long time.
Right, they've let themselves succumb to whatever negativity has been around this team for forever, and it's got to be frustrating for the fan base.
Tiki right now is hugging a former teammate of his, the great Jesse Armstead. Jesse, thank you very much for coming on, man. I appreciate that. Did you haze Tiki Barber when he was a rookie? Like, did you give him a lot of crap when he was first drafted? I'm just curious. I don't know.
Christian Peter would haze me. Jesse would.
Yeah, I didn't do too much of hazing.
Good to have you on. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Excellent.
Now, you've been with this team forever, Jesse. I mean, you retired, I mean, right before me, and then you've been here ever since. This team has been your life. Where do you see this season going?
I really feel very, very excited about the beginning of the season. And we got new life, new activity around there, new players. Very exciting. Looking forward to playing this week.
Yeah, so one of the things that I think we all expect is that this defense is going to be back to the old school Giants defenses where they're getting after the quarterback, as we all remember back in 7 and 11 with the big New England game. You're playing great secondary defense. How important is that going to be for this Giants team this year? Forget the offense for now, but just the defensive side of the ball, especially where offenses have gone in the NFL.
Well, first of all, you know, offense has been gone, like you just said, but for us, defense side of the ball, New York always been known for their defense. And glad to have that defense presence back in New York, and we're looking forward to see how those guys go out there and perform.
Yeah, when I remember when we were playing together, you guys had like a, I don't know, there was just an energy about the team, like and it was led by defense. You, Strahan, Hammer, all those guys. Tito, who was crazy as hell, but I mean, it feels like you need that in a sense in order to be successful here in the city.
Oh, absolutely. You know, New York made off that grind, that toughness, and they look forward for that defense to be that grinding kind of a team, you know, and we got some guys out there this year that should perform to a high level.
Right. How hard has it been to watch some of this over the last decade or so?
It's been hard, but I've been part of it, so I have to take some of the burden myself, you know what I mean? But I'm looking forward to now turning the page and showing everybody a new life to the New York Football Giants.
Right, but you feel it. It feels real.
Oh, it feels real. I mean, what I mean by that, you see the activity of practice. You see the guys. You see the talent that's out there. Sometimes it takes a little while to refresh the talent, you know. And with Joe, with Brandon, Timmy, you got so many people in the front office now that do such a great job at bringing in talent that you start seeing that talent. You know, you see a Carter coming through.
Right.
And you'll see a lot of different players just make a lot of plays. Scatterboo going to be I can't wait to see Scatterboo.
Well, I think one of the reasons that we're optimistic is that the guys that Joe has drafted over the last couple of seasons, they feel like football players, right? It's not, you know, we're here for some other reason other than being – it's like they're football players. They're dudes.
Yeah. If you look at our team, that's what we got now. You know, we need to clear it out a lot of you can call it in the count, you know, try to get a certain kind of players out of here. But we got football players. That's what you look for. You look for guys that come to work with their hard hats and looking to perform and make New York proud of them.
Right.
What's the biggest adjustment Abdul Carter's going to have to make going from being a superstar in college to the high expectations of being a star in the NFL?
The one thing you don't have to go to, every time you line up, is somebody in front of you that's a professional. Somebody that, not like in college, you may line up in front of two people who's at NFL caliber.
Right.
But then that's two people that's not, you know. When you're in the NFL, Everybody caliber is right in front of you. So it's going to be something that's an adjustment, but I think, you know, I know that he will overcome that, and he'll probably be one of the most productive players for a rookie.
When Giant fans come up to you, because this is a beautiful event, you got Giant fans everywhere, what's the most popular thing they say to you? Like, Jesse Armstead, remember when you did blah, blah, blah. Is there one thing that you get more from all fans more than anything else?
I just get them when they're excited, saying I can't wait for this season to start, you know what I mean? So, but for me personally, they always just say they remember how I played with so much excitement, you know, and things like that.
Well, you played with a chip.
Yep, you're right. I played with a chip. I still have that chip now. I just try to combat it most of the time.
Right. Who is there a guy on this team this year that feels like that, that's upset? I mean, you were a great high school player. You were a great college player. You got drafted late, and that I think it drove you most of your career. Is there a guy like that on this team?
Well, you know what? I think Carter had that attitude that he gonna have the whole time, you know, and he displays it sometimes, but I just want to see it during a whole football game,
right.
You know. And I think that he will be the one that show that same attitude the whole time he's out there on the
field. But he seems quiet. He seems reserved sometimes. You were not quiet or reserved in any way. So who's that guy?
Well, I came out of Carter High School in University of Miami. So, but you know that guy, we got to find that guy. You know what I mean? And that, hopefully that person will come out during this football season and pop up and lead this team and keep leading the team.
Right. I mean, it's one of the most important things that we don't talk about enough is the individual leader. And I'm talking about not just quarterback and the captains, but the group leaders, like the offensive line leader, the defensive line edge room leader, the linebacker leader. I mean, that's really what the Giants need to find in a plenty. That's how you become successful.
Yeah, and you know what? The good part about it, starting out 1 o'clock, we start finding out who those guys are. You know, we consider name people as captain, like you just said, but until you identify yourself on that football field, to the fans,
right?
You know, they would determine who the
captain. You got to show it.
Yeah,
you got to show it. If you don't show it, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
We're talking to Jesse Armstead as we're hanging out at this big Giant event, getting ready for the start of the year. So last night we saw a little spitting incident. How often did that happen? Did you get spit on a lot while playing in the NFL?
No, I didn't get spit on. I didn't spit on nobody because I would just say, hey, I'm going to get your ass in a little while. You know what I mean? So when he got on that football field, I would have got to him.
What's the worst thing someone did to you at the bottom of a huddle? At the bottom of a pile. Not a huddle, but in the pile.
Well, he was always on top of the pile.
Okay. What's the worst thing you did to somebody at the top of the pile?
You know, grab a face mask, push them up under the face mask, try to get my hands up under the mouth.
Yeah.
You know, do something like that. Piss them off, make them mad, you know. Because I don't have to think out there on the football field. When Tiki them line up, they have to think, you know.
Right.
They got to go in motion. They got to make sure they don't jump offside. I have nothing in my mind just go out there and attack you, you know what I mean? Yeah.
That's the best way to do it.
Yeah,
don't
that's
have to
it.
Think at all.
Yeah, don't think. Just play, you know.
Do you look at, because it feels like this sport is so different than it was when you played even 10 years ago. How would you feel playing in today's modern NFL with the regulations, with the rules, everything that's kind of changed, really tailored to offense more than anything else?
I think the only thing would affect me is that the quarterback situation, you know, they can slide and can't touch them and things like that. And it's very hard to try to sack somebody and you have to figure out how you're going to land on them.
Right.
I think that would be the hardest thing. But as far as the other part of the game, the fastness of the game, I think that's part of my game anyway, with speed. So I think the hardest thing would be adjusting to that quarterback when he's running out of the pocket or he's standing in the pocket.
Right. Jesse, I'm going to take you down memory lane. Go back to Super Bowl 35. We're in Tampa. For some reason, Jim Fossil wanted to introduce you guys on Sunday, which was annoying to us on the offensive side of the ball. But it is what it is. You guys got us there. It is what it is. But I remember in the second quarter, they ran a screen, hammers, tackles the running back because, I mean, you thought it was a running play. You intercept the pass, take it back for a touchdown, and it gets called back. That changed the game. I don't know if I've ever asked you about this play, but going through that play and then the aftermath of that play, what do you feel about that?
Well, you know, it was a play that I got the interception, ran it back, I think it was like 64, 65 yards, and it was a pivotal point to change the game.
Right.
And then when I was walking back, the ref was like, you don't make no call like that. I'm like, you should have told your buddy that. You know? And then it made it where Baltimore kicked the field goal right after that and made it 10-0. And with a game like that, that's hard. You're giving a defensive team, or if we had 10 points, it would been hard for them to ever come back. So
it
put us in a bad predicament, you know. But it was a game-changing play that, you know, I feel like we were on our way to change it and win the football.
It's funny because whenever I think about that Super Bowl, that's the only play I think about.
And sad part about it, you might think, I've never seen the play.
Really? I've never watched the full game. I've seen highlights,
yeah.
But I've never rewatched that full game.
I never.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
shouldn't have seen that play.
That was going to be my next question, because I rewatched the game like a couple of years ago because I'm a sick man.
You watched our?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember telling you about this. I said, yeah, I rewatched the Super Bowl. And you're
right,
like,
right,
well,
oh, that's right.
Why are you such a hater? And I'm like, have you watched it? And Tiki was like, I've never seen it. Is it common then? Because it sounds like you've never seen the game at all. You never went back and rewatched it?
Well, the season's over, so we don't get together as a team. And we usually just we watch the game.
Right.
And you evaluate. You can make corrections. You get ready for next week. But the season's over. Like, you don't,
there's no point of it?
Well, there's no time. The last thing you want to do is go sit in a meeting.
I mean, you guys can go on YouTube tonight if you want to rewatch
no,
it.
No, I'm not watching it.
No,
I'm not watching it.
It would cause too much, like, anguish?
It would be a little bit of taste.
Yeah.
I don't want to bring you back.
No, I understand. I get that.
I mean, it was Ray Charles singing America the Beautiful, and everything else was downhill.
Now, would you rewatch the shutout against the Vikings at least? Would you go back and watch
that?
That
was great.
That was great, yeah.
Have you ever rewatched that game?
Yes, I saw that game.
Okay, very good.
Because I had to watch that when we did to get to the next game.
Oh, that doesn't count? You haven't sat there on YouTube and said, you know what I want to do tonight, hon? I want to rewatch the NFC Championship. Yeah, you know, we shut out the Vikings. You've never done that?
No, I never done that.
Interesting. I guess I'm the weird one then. What can I tell you?
No, you are right. We the weird ones.
That's exactly right.
Well, Jesse, great having you on. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have you here.
All right.
The great Jesse Armstead, as we are broadcasting live from this awesome Giants season kickoff here at American Dream. And I do want to give a shout-out to a specific individual that we all owe a lot to. Tiki does, Sean does, Loogie does, we all do. His name is Matthew. Are you aware of Matthew?
I am not aware.
You're not aware of Matthew?
Tell me about Matthew.
Matthew is over at the T-Mobile store.
Oh, and, Matthew hooked you up too, huh?
And Matthew has allowed us to use the restroom. Matthew is also a diehard Met fan, who is surrounded by Yankee fans, and that is not an easy existence. So I don't see him right now. He's probably working very hard back in the T-Mobile store. But I want to say thank you, Matthew, because nature calls.
Yep.
And you got to use the restroom. And it's right behind us, and it's been very, very convenient. So I want to thank him for that.
He also hates the Giants.
Does he?
Oh, yeah.
He didn't tell me that.
He told me, listen, no offense. Let's start doing more Met talk today. I said, well, we can't do
that. Does he like a football team?
I didn't get that sense, which tells me maybe closet Cowboy fan.
Oh. Wow.
You think he's no, he's not a Cowboy fan.
If you don't like one of the locals and you're from here, you like the Cowboys.
Yeah, it's just a prediction. He has the look.
It may be one of those.
He has the look.
Yeah, what does that mean, the look of a Cowboy fan?
When you look at a guy and he tells you he's not, you get the, that's not a Jet fan. That's a Cowboy fan. Okay. I can see it.
There are people in this town, you may not believe this, Sean. We call them one sporters. Are you familiar with these people?
They only watch one sport. They care about one sport.
They only watch one sport. Now, obviously, football is the most popular sport in the country, so most one-sporters are football fans. But believe it or not, there are one-sporters who are baseball fans, basketball fans, and hockey fans, and they tolerate the other sports. Like, when their one sport is done, they'll pay attention. So it's possible he's a one-sporter who's a Met fan, a baseball fan.
Sure.
And, yeah, he'll watch the Giants or Jets once our season's over in late October. Because that's usually the case.
I'm still going Cowboy fan.
You going Cowboy fan?
Yeah. That being said, please let me keep using the bathroom because that shake.
Was fantastic. Let's get to some of your phone calls. We've got a Cinco de 5-0 coming up shortly. Plus, we'll make our NFL picks. John is calling from Massbeth. What's up, John?
Hi, Evan. So this morning I wake up and I check the Major League Baseball standings, and I see the San Francisco Giants are only 4 games behind the Mets.
That is correct.
I'm like,
yeah, check the standings
they
wise.
So I'm like, wow, they must be hot. And sure enough, they won 10 of their last 11 games.
Yes.
So I'm like, I wonder who's playing good for them. And I see a player who over the last 2 weeks is hitting .375.
Drew Gilbert.
400 OPS.
Yes.
And his name is Drew Gilbert. And I'm like, that name sounds familiar. Sure enough, boom. The Mets prospect to get traded at the deadline, the outfielder. So, and he's leading the charge for the Giants. So my question to you, Evan.
Yeah,
is,
what's the question other than you being a jerk?
September 28th, and the Mets just missed the last wild card spot by a game to the San Francisco Giants that are led by Drew Gilbert.
Okay.
What is the feeling of Evan Roberts and the Rico Brunier podcast that night if that happens? I'll hang up and listen.
You need to start taking live calls on the Rico Brunier.
That's a Rico Bronya question.
Is it?
Yes. Do you really care?
I would be upset if the Mets missed the playoffs. I think he's adding the insult that one of the prospects they traded has gotten an opportunity and has played well. I wasn't upset when they traded him. I didn't think like that was going to cost them a playoff spot.
Right.
But I think for both the Mets and the Yankees, I'll put them in it too. It's not about who harms them. If either team misses the playoffs, it's a disaster. Now, let's just call it like it is. It's a disaster. Now, the Yankees are much more mathematically safe right now in the American League than the Mets are. But they miss the playoffs, it's a disaster. And think about the contrast to the football teams.
Right.
Where it would take a miracle for them to make the playoffs. But the Giants are right there, I do admit. They've been red hot. They're four games back. Luckily, they still have seven games left with the Dodgers. And so hopefully the Dodgers will give them some help.
Yeah, Drew Gilbert wasn't even a Met. He was an Astro.
Well, no, he was in the system for the last 2.5 years.
Yeah, but he was an Astro. It's different.
Yeah, but you still trade.
It's different.
So you're saying that shouldn't
bother. It's different. If it's Pete Alonso, that kills you.
Okay.
It's Drew Gilbert.
What if Pete Crow Armstrong kills the Mets in the wild card series?
Well, he will.
Does that count?
He will.
He will. Yeah, probably. All right, quick break. We got the Cinco de Favo coming up, and we're going to get into great detail on these games this weekend, what the Jets need to do, what the Giants need to do. We'll make our NFL picks, and, of course, we'll talk to you at 888-808-1019.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women's society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett, available now wherever you get your podcasts.